Attic name's Brian. We just, some other addicts and myself, we just started a new home group, so there's no home group name, so hopefully more will be revealed in the name. I never thought it'd be such a process trying to name a home group. Like, I don't know. That's a whole other lead. So, I don't know, the committee called me a couple months ago and asked me to speak, and always I say it's an honor, because it truly is, to come up here and for me, to the best of my ability, to try and share some experience, strength, and hope. So I was real honored with that. A little bit nervous. Just hoping that it would be, I thought 9 o'clock, there won't be too many people there. It would be all right. So, but thank you for coming. I appreciate that. I don't know. I come from a small town near Butler, Pennsylvania, if anybody knows where that's at. But there was never really much going on in that town, and it was always kind of boring. I never felt like I fit in. So I wasn't a jock, and I didn't think I was smart, and I wasn't I didn't hang out with the popular crowd. So I always lived in this limbo. And then I was introduced to some substances, and that kind of, I really liked it. When I got high, the first time I got high, I really liked it. And I thought I found my niche in life, like a lot of us, I think we do. And I thought, this is cool. This is somewhere I fit in. This is something I do well. I never thought I did anything well. So when I found drugs, I thought, well, this is really neat. I can fit in here. So, started getting high, my teens, and I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I'm just going here. So I kind of I started coasting my way through life. So I guess what I'm getting at, not really applying myself anywhere, because again, I thought I always felt less than, I didn't fit in, I didn't do anything well. So I always coasted my way through life, and I was kind of comfortable with that. I remember having dreams. Whenever I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional football player. I think that's a normal dream for a young kid. My dad was a football coach when I was a kid, so you can imagine what that was like. Actually, it wasn't too bad. And I don't want to speak ill will of my father, because he was a really good guy. So I remember first getting clean. I had forgotten about all these dreams that I had. Even just about living a comfortable life, a family, the idealistic, white picket fence, 2.5 kids, a dog, things like that. And I had forgotten about all that. And when I started getting clean, somebody was close to me, they started talking about these dreams being awakened, you know what I mean? And it led me to think about all these dreams that I had, and still kind of feeling less than, and not really can I accomplish these dreams? And I've come to learn through staying clean, doing the next right thing, doing some step work, I can accomplish these things that I wanted to do in my life. It's really neat. Lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise, and I've learned that anything that I want to do, anything that I want to change today is possible. I can do whatever I want. And that's a great freedom to have that, that feeling of hope. That's a really cool thing. I'm currently formally reworking a second step, change sponsors, which is a really beautiful thing. This new sponsor I have, I trust him, with my life, you know what I mean? I believe in the things that he says to me, and I believe it's a really good relationship, you know what I mean? I feel free sharing with him and things like that, so it's really neat. So I'm kind of reworking a second step, so hope's a real prominent thing for me right now, because I've learned a lot of that from the second step. I never thought, I have a 2-year-old daughter. She was about 3 months old when I got clean. And like, I was a really horrible father in the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, because I didn't care about her. Like, I didn't want her. Whenever her mother first got pregnant, I tried to talk her like abortions and let's give this kid away, because like I was you know, in the midst at the very end of my addiction, and was in no way, shape, or form ready to have like to care for another human being. Like, it was, to me, that was beyond my capacity. Like, there's, which it's still a struggle, but you know, it's been revealed to me that like, through staying clean, doing the next right thing, doing some self-work, like, I'm becoming a better father to her. And I actually really miss her this weekend. She, you know, she's like, she's the light of my life, you know what I mean? She's let me just explain where I'm going here. My father was a really good guy, and but like, I don't think I ever really knew him. He passed away about 3 years ago. He had like a massive heart attack, and like, at the end, I was getting high so much, like, I didn't spend any time with him. And I'm angry with him about that, but like, I was too busy doing these other things. Like, I'm angry that he's dead. And you have to give me a minute here. And I want my daughter to know me, and like, and I'm so happy that I got clean when she was young, because she doesn't have to see me like doing the things that I was doing, you know, doing the things that we do, stealing, lying, cheating, stuff like that. So I'm really happy that like, I'm clean now, and like I said, it's a struggle for me to be a good father, like, patience and understanding her needs. I'm not being so damn self-centered, you know what I mean, and giving her what she needs in life. And so it's been revealed to me, like, through staying clean and doing step work, that I could be a better father to her today. And it's a real rewarding experience to be able to provide for her today. It's really neat. And like, for some, by the grace of God, I have the same job today that I had like through like I've been there for about 7.5 years, and like, I don't know how I kept this job, like, getting loaded. Like, either they were really desperate, or like, they were in bigger, more denial than I was about what was going on. And again, I never thought I was good at anything, so I'm coasting through work. And I always thought, like, you know, doing a half-assed job was okay, because they continued to let me work there. And like, and I've learned that, like, by applying the principles of Narcotics Anonymous to my job, traditions and steps, that like, I can be a better employee today. They kind of give me that. I kind of have a job of a little bit of responsibility there, and they allow me to like have people work under me, and I never really thought that I was capable of like managing like a little group of people, and like, and through doing the right things, like, I've learned that I can do that better today. And like, what I'm getting at here is like, this might, and I'll say this, and I don't say this to be egotistical or anything like this. This is my first time in recovery, and like, I'm doing okay. Like, I got a few days together, and one reason I say that, if you're here for the first time, never been in recovery before, you don't have to ever get high again, because just for today, I'm not getting loaded, and I'm going to continue to do that. But the reason I say that, like, everything, all this stuff that I'm learning is like new to me. Like I never thought that the positive things in my life that are happening now were ever possible. And like, every day something new is revealed to me, like, that I can improve on, that I know I can be good at, and I can excel at if I apply myself and do some footwork. Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to do things that I don't want to do. Like, I really don't want to get into a meeting tonight, you know what I mean? But like, if I want another day clean, maybe I should, you know what I mean? I don't want to go to my grandma's, to some birthday party for some little cousin or something, but you know what, it's my family, and they've done some really positive things for me lately, so like, maybe I should go and show some gratitude, you know what I mean? Like, Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to do things that I don't want to do, and like, that's new to me. Really, it's a blessing. Like, sometimes sometimes it, I don't know, it's a pain in the ass because, like, I know I should and I don't want to, but it's, like, the right thing to do, so I do it.
I don't know.
I've never been in a relationship clean. You know what I mean? Like, my prerequisite for a significant other was, does she get high? Does she have sex? You know what I mean? Because that's what mattered. You know what I mean? Getting loaded and getting laid, that's what mattered in my life. And I've come to learn, like, relationships, that's not necessarily what it's all about. It's all about, like, I'm trying to be not so... I'm in a relationship now, my daughter's mother. And as sick as it can be sometimes, like, I've come to learn the last... Like, kind of like this is like a revelation I've had in, like, the last 3 weeks. Brian, you're a self-centered asshole. Why don't you try... not being so self-centered with her, and maybe the arguments won't come and the screaming and things like that, because little kid in the house, and I don't want her to grow up with, like, her mother yelling at me and me yelling at her mother. Like, I don't want her to grow up with that. And I'm not real sure. I still pray to God every day. I'm like, take care of this relationship, because you know what, it's sometimes beyond my ability to manage. That's a new thing, turning things over to God. Goodness. I remember I was in rehab and I was sitting there and I look up and the 12 steps from the Alcoholics Anonymous there, and I'm just reading. I'm like, I'd never heard of NA. Like, I had no clue. Like, what is NA? I was just going because I was tired of being dope sick and spending all my money, and, you know, I didn't know anything about 12-step fellowships. And I'm reading them and I see this God word, and I'm like, oh, this is a cult. This is a religious. Where am I at? What am I doing? And but I've learned that my relationship with God's really, really important. Like, it's what gets me through a lot of days. It's I pray in the morning, God, please don't let me screw up too bad today. Like, please help me not yell at anybody today. I have a habit of, like, when things don't go my way or, like, difficulties come in my life, like, I lash out verbally. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a good idea and it takes a little bit of work, like, it's a horrible idea because it's going to take some work for me to do. So I'm learning to be open-minded with other people's suggestions and like, apply them and not lash out when difficult times come in my life. So, like, turning my will and my life over to the care of God every day, it's very foreign. I'm getting better at it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I pray every morning because I forget. And then, it upsets me. Like, when I do pray, I'm like, God, please help me remember to pray. You know what I mean? That's one of the things. Please help me remember to pray, because I don't like on my way to work to be praying, like, trying to drive. Like, it's not for me. It's not a spiritual. And I do that in times, like, when it's needed. But, like, I like to hit my knees and become centered in the morning and let go of Brian's will and try not to. Living today with egos and false prides and manipulation and lust. I don't know. So this is all new to me. Like, every day more is revealed to me. And it's a blessing. It's exciting. I love retreats. Like, it's really meeting some new... Last year I was up here and I was still a little afraid, like, of people. And this year it's really neat because I'm kind of breaking out of that barrier and I'm meeting some new people and had some really cool conversations, like hanging out with some people I maybe not normally would have hung out with, you know what I mean? And that's really cool. I have a very small we, and I used to think that was sufficient for me, and I've come to learn, and this is like in the last couple of weeks, that maybe it's not. And I love, like, there's like two, I have a W and an E. My E, Brandon. but I have more friends than that, but they're the people I tell everything to. And my sponsor. But, like, I've learned, like, I need some more suggestions in my life than from two people. You know what I mean? And so I'm currently trying to, expand myself out. And not too fast. You know, like, maybe a person here and a person there. And it's good to have people around me. But I need people that I can, like, tell my deep, dark secrets to. And what's really going on in my head. Because it's not a safe place for me to be alone all the time. So it was like it revealed to me, like having true friends, like it's being revealed to me. I can have true friends, not just people who want something from me and I just don't want something from them, you know, money or dope. You know what I mean? There's more to friendships. And I can't forget about those relationships in my life, like the close friendships that I need, the bonds that I need to make. Like, I can't forget about those because they're really important. I need people in my life. Which is strange because I hid from people, you know what I mean? Like, I maybe had a few people that, like, that, one of them just passed away, actually, painful, like, very close. I had friends when I was getting high at the end, I really did. There wasn't many of them, but there was a couple, and I just buried a real close friend of mine a few weeks ago, and I really wish she could have found her way to Narcotics Anonymous, but that wasn't the plan that God had for her, and maybe I'll see her again sometime, I don't know. That's my belief in hell, sorry. But what I'm saying is, like, every day is a new day for me, and every day I get to see something different, a new possibility in my life that I can achieve. And it's a blessing. Like, it's a real blessing. I don't know, guys. I'm glad you guys are all here. Broader to grace. Higher the point of freedom. And I can't do this without you. Thanks.
On behalf of everyone, I thank you, Brian. Our next speaker is Wayne R. from Recovery in the House.
Good morning. My name is Wayne, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. First things first, I want to thank my higher power for the moment, because that's all I truly have. If you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, welcome. They told me when I got here that the message was hope. The promise was freedom from active addiction. They told me that an addict, any addict, could stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. You know, first I want to thank the committee for taking a risk. See, because unlike Brian, when I got here, I was asked, you know, I was asked to do service, okay? And where I'm from, service is my middle name. My intentions when I came this weekend was to just relax and enjoy, because I'm still learning how to do that. You know, like I said, service is my middle name. Like, we just had our convention in May in New York, you know, and I was the treasurer for that. So, like, I'm just really winding down my commitment. So when I was asked, I had no problem saying yes. And then I was given a choice of whether I wanted to chair a meeting or speak. And before I could open my mouth, someone who was with me said he wants to speak. And I just looked up and said, he knows, I don't, you know, so here I am. You know, a little bit about me. I used drugs. In the beginning, I used drugs. In the end, the drugs used me. You know, in the middle, it was a whole lot of pain, misery, and suffering. When I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I came here for one reason and one reason only. I wanted to learn how to stop smoking. See, because for all the years that I used, I didn't see that I had a problem. When I picked up that one particular drug, like, right away I knew something wasn't right. Because this was the first thing that I had ever tried that I didn't like. But by then it was too late. You know, I didn't know how to put it down. You know, I did anything and everything that I needed to do to use. And it wasn't until one day that, like, I came to and realized that, like, I didn't like the person that I'd become. You know, I had lost the ability to even look at me in the mirror. You know, house full of mirrors, like, and I would just walk past them. You know, because I was afraid of what, you know, I knew, like, I was getting bad. You know, but I was afraid of what I was going to see, so I didn't look. You know, I realized that no one could help me until I was ready to be helped. You know, Brian, thank you. You know, I need to let y'all know that, like, my higher power really has a sense of humor, you know, because, like, I had this grand idea that I was going to go to bed early last night, you know, get some rest. And about 1:30, the fire alarm went off in the building, and, like, that was the end of rest, you know. Then I got up this morning and didn't know what a meeting was going to be because when I came out, it was just raining a little bit. So I came in, you know, I came and asked questions, and they said, well, it's not raining real hard, so it'll probably still be in the amphitheater. And it just so happens there was a meeting going on there at the time, so I walked over there, and as soon as I got there, that's when the rain came down. And I'm like, and I came back over here, and I looked at the person who I had just put his axe, and I said, he just started laughing. You know, we both just started laughing because, like, we knew that it was the meeting had been moved. Coming from where I come from, that's not even a problem because, you know, being in New York, you know, when we put on conventions, I'm used to things changing at a moment's notice, you know, and I've learned how to roll with the punches, you know, more will be revealed, you know, when I came into this process, like, I had no idea I'd stay. You know, and for identification purposes, just for today, I've been here 12 years and 11 months. And like I said, I came here just to stop that one drug. But I had no intention of staying. I was going to continue doing what I was doing because I didn't see it as a problem. You know, of course, bills wasn't getting paid. I was just living in my mother's apartment. You know, my name was not on the lease, so yes, I was homeless. I found out when I got here that if your name is not on the lease, you're homeless. You know, you may have a place to stay, but you're homeless. You know, I had lost the ability, I had lost the energy to live. You know, I was slowly dying, and at that time, I thought it was okay. You know, I would have been happy with that. I made my first meeting, and the only thing that I can remember from that first meeting was I heard them say, keep coming back. More will be revealed. And I had no clue what they was talking about, but I kept coming. You know, I came in here frightened, you know, basically afraid of my own shadow. You know, I was a big punk, you know. And I'm not afraid to say that today. You know, I came in here, the only thing you could get out of me was my name is Wayne, and I'm an addict. And, I came in here with the willingness, though. You know, I came in here. Right away, I got a sponsor, right? And, the first sponsor that I got was someone that I had used to work with, you know. And I remember him always telling me, you know, because he co-signed a lot of things, you know, when I used to, you know, be at work and getting high and getting paid on Thursday and have to bar coffee the same night to get home. from him. And he would always say, maybe you need to make a meeting. But like they say, the dumbest questions is the ones you don't ask. See, because I had never heard of Nakai Chinanams either, so I had no clue what he was talking about. You know, as long as he was, like, giving me what I needed, I was okay. You know, so this went on for, you know, a couple of months. And then one day, like, you know, when I made the decision, when God made the decision to bring me in here, you know, I remember going to my first convention. And when I walked into this hotel, I looked up, and out of the blue, he was in the corner doing service. And I remember running through this hotel and hugging him, and he whispered in my ear, I bet you know what a meeting is now. And all I could do was, like, thank God. You know, because, like, at that moment, I knew that I was in this for the long haul. You know, because, like, I had known him, and I'd known him clean. I never saw him use it, but just from the stories that I heard from him and from the stories that I heard in the rooms, I didn't think I was going to stay. You know, I didn't want to stay. But that right there, like, helped change my mind. You know, I make meetings, and I listen. And like, in the beginning, I just, like, didn't say nothing. I just took all the information in, you know, my sponsor got me involved in service, you know, for me, that was, like, my niche, you know, because I came in here, my biggest fear when I came in here was free time, because I get bored when I don't have nothing to do. And, you know, when I was, you know, out there, that was, like, my biggest reason for getting high. So when I came in here, I had no clue what I was going to do because I had all this time on my hand. So when he got me involved in service, and I started meeting people, you know, I started going to functions and just getting a little bit better with me. And he got me involved in steps. And for me, I hated writing. I still hate writing. But what I've learned was that if I didn't do the work, then I was the one who was going to stay sick. See, it's easy for me. I mean, it was easy for me to put the drug down. But for me to change was the hardest thing in the world because I didn't see that I had a problem. You know, I mean, my problem was I thought drugs. Just kept saying, more will be revealed. You know, I came in, I found out that I was a manipulator, a con artist, a bullshitter, self-centered, egotistical, you know. And I work on changing those a day at a time, you know. I found out that clean time does not equal recovery. You know, I found out that I'm really not a bad person. It was just the decisions that I was making at the time that wasn't the best, the healthiest for me. You know, and through step work, I'm learning how to, you know, get a little bit better. You know, I've come to the realization that I'm never going to be perfect. And today, that's okay for me. But when I came in here, you couldn't tell me that, you know, because I wouldn't have stayed. see, because I always wanted to be perfect. I always wanted you to like me, and I did whatever it took for you to like me. You know, I'm the biggest people pleaser you ever want to meet. Today I'm learning how to take care of me. And sometimes that's a struggle, because I'm not used to that. You know, that's changed for me. You know, knowing when I'm taking care of me and knowing when I'm being, you know, knowing the difference between when I'm really taking care of me or when I'm being self-centered and want everything my way. You know, that's still a struggle for me. You know, that's why I need people, you know, because I have one way of looking at things, and, you know, with people around me, they can say, well, maybe you might need to look at it like this, or try looking at it like this, and, like, okay, because today I am open-minded, you know, if nothing else, I'm open-minded. You know, I have a situation going on now with me and my daughter. You know, I have a 26-year-old daughter who, when I came into this process, like, didn't want anything to do with me. And in the early, in the beginning of my process, like, you know, through the step where we was working on building a relationship, you know, and like, I heard it said that, like, you can get, you know, anything you can imagine, you know, if you put the drugs down. Didn't say you would, okay? And, like, I mean, working at building this relationship and working and working, and today, she doesn't want anything to do with it. Today I have acceptance with that. You know, I know that, like, what I did when I was out there, it's over, it's done, I can't change it. You know, I made amends, and I've moved on. You know, I have acceptance with it. If she never comes around, I'm okay with it. I don't like it. I don't like the feelings that I experienced because of it. But you know what? I got to do this for me. You know, if I get caught up in like what she thinks, and you know what, I might as well go lose. See, because I don't have the time. I don't have the energy to put into like trying to please her. The sad thing is that I have two grandchildren that, like, the only time I see them is at Christmas. And that part, I don't, you know, that part, it really gets me. But, I keep doing the work with my sponsor, and I'll get some acceptance with that, too. You know, see, as long as I'm willing, then, I have a shot at getting better. You know, because there's some days that I'll go right into straight refusal. Like, I'm not going to try. I'm not. No, I'm just not doing it. You know. And the only one I heard is me. You know. Today, I'm practicing not hurting me. And when you're used to doing something for so long, it's not easy to just change. You know, it happens over time, not overnight. You know, more will be revealed. Like, I'm glad I didn't have time to think about this, you know, because I'm always one of those who will do the research and spend 20 hours, you know, researching the subject, and then get up here and everything that I just thought about, like, goes right out the door. See, I know who's really in charge, you know. So, like, you know, when the top was given to me, I just said, you know what? When Sunday comes, you just get up there and let God have I also had this misconception that nobody wouldn't be up, you know, because, I mean, my experience is that Sunday morning is getaway day for most people, you know, whoever is still there, they're usually buying CDs or merchandise and then trying to get home, you know, so it's like, if there's four or five people, that's okay, you know, but I'm not in charge. I was just taught, you know, when anybody asks you to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous, and you can do it, then you shouldn't say no. See, because I also learned the hard way that, like, you can't do everything. You know, and it's okay to say no sometimes. You know, because, like, with my daughter, my biggest problem was, like, I didn't know how to say no to her. And when I learned how to say no to her, that's when all the problems started. You know, see, I know she's just like me, you know, only she didn't pick up the drugs. You know, but the characteristics, you know, they're the same. You know, but you know what? I'm the addict. I can't speak for nobody else, you know, no matter what I see, I'm the addict, you know, and I have to keep the blame to focus on, you know, she got to guard my life just like I do. You know, recently I had a chance to spend some time with my mother, you know, and the rest of my family, and, like, that's still, different from me, because, like, my family was my people, places, and things, you know, and like, y'all told me in this, you know, in this process that, like, I needed to change the people, places, and things, you know, or, like, those same people would wind up getting me out, you know, so it's been difficult to, like, keep the healthy boundaries, you know, because, like, I mean, my family loves me, you know, and I know that, but I know that when I'm around them, I'm not comfortable around them, you know, because a lot of them still do the same, you know, they still use. And I'm just not comfortable being around people who use. See, because I learned that, like, if you go to the barbershop long enough, sooner or later you're going to get a haircut, you know, and like, I've always been a follower, you know, but I remember the pain. And just for today, I'm willing to, whatever it takes for me not to go back to that pain. You know, I'm not afraid of the yes. I'm afraid of the against. You know, leaving the house on Friday to get a pack of cigarettes, coming back Tuesday. You know, calling the job, telling them I'll be right there. 3 days later, I show up and get mad at them when they want to send me back home, you know, when I'm able to work, because when I was using, I'd show up at the job. That's about all I could do. I'd show up because I learned early on when I was using that, like, I had to support my own habit. So, like, I always kept the job, but I didn't always work.
Right in that transition.
Today, I've learned that, like, my only job is staying clean. Everything else is a luxury. You know, I mean, I have employment today. I'm a productive member of society. But I know that if I don't stay clean, that's all out the door. You know, I like my life today. I like the fact that I have a life to live today. you know, because when I was out there, I was just you know, today I'm living. You know, I'm doing what I want to do because I do what I need to do. You know, this program is awesome. You know, it has done for me what I could not even dream of doing for myself. And I wouldn't trade this in for the world. But I know the only way that I can keep this is to give it away. You know. I'm starting to think, so like, I know it's time to wrap it up, because, you know, once I get it in my head, we all in trouble. If you're new, just stay. If you've been coming around for a while, just stay. They told me that if I stayed, I wouldn't have to keep coming back. You know, told me relapse is not a requirement, but it is a reality for some people. You know, they told me as long as I lived the Narcotics Anonymous program, that I wouldn't have to worry about relapse. On the drug. See, because, like I said, I'm not perfect. You know, I can relapse on behavior in a heartbeat. You know, so today I just practice taking suggestions. And for me, it is just practice, because if it don't sound like something I want to do, I get like real defensive. You know, then I see how it can benefit me, and I become willing. Or I get dragged, and then I become willing. Or I go through some pain, and then I become willing. So, just for today, I'm trying to do it the easy way. That don't always work for me, but I'm trying. If no one told you they love you today, maybe, just maybe, you need to take a look at who you're hanging out with. You know, and I say that to say that, like, the people in my life, they not only tell me they love me, they show me. You know, and, like, I try to do it to the best of my ability. You know, and if no one told you they love you today, I love you. And my higher power does. You know, with that, my name is Wayne. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Wayne.